Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome back Grammy Award-winning musician Jason Mingledorf, also known as Big Win. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you could be along as always. And we felt like we were in a musical mode these days. And, well, we had to turn to a friend from just last year. And we met him in New Orleans. Actually, we met his music in New Orleans and had him on the show since then. And this guy is sought after the world over, really. And I'll let Jason tell you about it in a second. But he has played all over the country, and he decided he had a minute or two to join us on the show. He wanted to come back on, so we said, okay, Jason Mingledorf is always welcome on this show. Welcome back, Professor Big Wind.
Oh, it's great to be back. Oh, I wish my students would call me that. That would be great.
Well, the Big Wind thing, we talked about it on the last time you were on, but we'll get into that again, because people that are less familiar with what you do and how you do it and such are in for a treat this hour. So I appreciate you making time, because you've been busy getting ready for a tour, if I understand, and you've been playing all kinds of venues all over the place. And, well, you tell people, Jason, you know, what it's all about for you musically. You know, as you've been in New Orleans now basically 30 years, and that's still
30 years. This is my 30th year, yes.
I mean, still one of the most sought-after musicians, happens to be a saxophonist. You know, we're partial. But sought-after musicians in New Orleans, and they take you out of New Orleans sometimes.
Yes, that's one of the great things about being a New Orleans musician. People all over the world love New Orleans music, so they bring New Orleans music to them, you know. Whether it's all over Europe, they love to have brass bands from New Orleans, and all over the country, they love, you know, all you got to say is you're from New Orleans, and it's a little bit easier to book a gig.
Yeah, I think it is, and I got to see you in New Orleans, and it was the tail end last year for Jazz Fest. We weren't in town for Jazz Fest, but we caught it on the tail end, and a really good friend of mine, Lee, and his buddy Dave, was kind of our buddy too. They love to go to Jazz Fest. They go every year, but like here's the secret, and I'm going to tell people the secret publicly now. The secret to Jazz Fest is not going to Jazz Fest itself. It's to go to the clubs the nights of Jazz Fest, especially toward the tail end, because all these great musicians come together and you never know who you're going to see. And we happen to see Papa John Grell for the first time for us, one of Lee's favorites bands of all time and artists. Obviously, John's been doing great stuff for a long time. And there on the stage is his saxophonist. And people know I play a little bit. I dabble. But I'm always drawn to that. And there's a reason that Jason's nickname is Big Wind, because I don't know where you get it from. I don't know where the energy and just the constant stream of oxygen comes from. But you blow the house down every night when you play.
Well, thank you. It's you know, it's funny that you talk about where it comes from and stuff, because I'm sitting here in my office at school, and you know, all of my students, probably the first couple of weeks of class, pretty much all we talk about is air, and because it is a very big part of how we do things, you know, it's like how we breathe. We are actually wind instruments, so I talk about it. Yeah, it's not an accident, you know. I've worked a lot over the years about just how to breathe, and as I talk to them, I realize I actually have tons of air going through the horn, to the point I actually have damaged my my abdomen. I ripped a muscle in the front of my abdomen, and because I breathe so hard.
Now it's just a 5-pack instead of a 6-pack. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I joke with my wife because it's a bulge. It looks like kind of like it happens to pregnant women, and it looks like a hernia. But there's a name for it. It's called diastasis recti, and it looks like a big bulge. So I call it, instead of my 6-pack, I call it my 2-liter.
Nice.
It looks like a 2-liter coming in. It freaks her out. But I have to do these special exercises. And I was like, well, what? And I reached out to a bunch of other saxophonists. I'm like, hey, does any of y'all have this issue with your stomach and like this bulge? And I know a lot of them do. And they just thought it was a weird thing. And I think it's related to all that hard blowing.
Oh, I'm well on my way. I don't blow that hard, but I have that already. So now I'm that far along. That's great. I feel good. I feel like I'm. You know. He's talking about his students because he is a professor at Loyola University in New Orleans. Beautiful campus. Got a chance to drive by there last year, and it was surprising. You go, was it uptown? And you pass by Tulane, and you pass by Loyola, and you're like, "Wow, this is a part of New Orleans I didn't even know existed." Because you always hear about the Ninth Ward, and you hear obviously about Bourbon Street and the downtown and such. But there's so many different sections of New Orleans. I mean, I feel really bad because that was the first time I was there, and anxious to get back. But if somebody's never been to New Orleans, I mean, it is amazing how many different areas there are to that city.
Oh, yeah. Where we are, you mentioned, is uptown. Now, one thing I love to tell people to do, I love to do, is the streetcar runs all the way from downtown up this main street, which is St. Charles, which we're on. And it goes all the way, like, for miles to, like, the outer edge of the city. And all these huge, beautiful mansions are along St. Charles. And when you're on the streetcar, it's not like you're in your car. When you're in your car, you know, you don't want to get in a wreck, so you're not really looking at. But in your streetcar, they have open windows. They don't even have windows. You just open, and you stick your hand out, and you just look at all these beautiful mansions and oak trees as you go up. And it's a really beautiful ride. You can take it, and it's just like, you know, a couple bucks to get on, take this streetcar, and you go out, and Loyola's right on it. And there's Audubon Park, there's Tulane, and a bunch of other, you know, sites just right on that one road.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did, and it was astounding because you're thinking, oh, you want to take the streetcar because it's kind of historic, and where's it going to take us? And it just kept going, and it got more beautiful and more beautiful. Again, no knock on Ward 9, but it's opposite ends of the world, opposite ends of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's funny. A lot of musicians in town, they kind of stick to those sections. Like, I know guys in the Ninth Ward that never come uptown. They just never go. So, and there's music clubs uptown that are like historic. Like, you went to Tipitina's, that's uptown. Maple Leaf is like one of my favorite places. That's way uptown. And they have different bands. Different bands play there regularly than the ones downtown. And I'll play with guys that are downtown all the time. And they're like, this is my first time I've ever played uptown in Maple Leaf or whatever. It's crazy because they just stay in that part of town.
Yeah, we had to get to Tipitina's. That happened to be where you were, but that was the suggestion from my buddy Lee, who's all doesn't play music, but he's all about it. And it was amazing to see this club, very historic and still around, and the New Orleans music scene. I won't just say jazz, but the music scene continues. I mean, even through the pandemic and all the bad things that happened to that city, the music has kept churning and churning, and it's a thing of beauty to really digest.
Yeah, it's quite healthy. I'd say any night of the week there's about 50 bands playing publicly, and that's not even counting all the private functions.
You've won at least a Grammy, so you're a Grammy-winning artist. And
yes.
Guys like Trombone Shorty have been out touring and doing things, and Kingfish and different guys that have had an impact. Who do you think, in your estimation, has really been a leading force for New Orleans and its music?
Oh, that's a great question. There a couple of bands. There's a band called Dumpster Funk. And this is a, or some people know it as Ivan Neville's Dumpster Funk. And this band is guys that kind of used to play with the Neville Brothers, which has a big fan base, but also used to play with a bunch of different funk bands around town. And it is one of the funkiest bands in the world. And they tour pretty heavily. And it, it's got Ivan Neville and Tony Hall, great bass player. And it's just a monster band. And I got to see them last. We have a new festival in town called the Funk Festival. And it's in the fall. And they had it last weekend. And they play. They did a whole show of a tribute to Sly and the Family Stone, and it was amazing. But that band is so great. They're a big one. Also, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. The Dirty Dozen Brass Band is a big influence on my brass band, the Nightcrawlers. They are the originators of like the modern brass band sound, and they are still touring like all the time, all over the world. And those two bands right now are some of the most exciting bands that are out there just doing it. Bands like Galactic, which I used to play with like 25 years ago, they're still out there all the time, and have a huge following. And of course you mentioned Trombone Shorty. I mean, his shows are legendary, you know.
Energy. Yeah. Well, my Shorty story, even though I've seen him in concert a couple of times, it's hard to, you know, not go see that guy because, again, the energy and the horn itself is amazing. But I was heading back to the airport, and this driver picked me up, and it was Shorty's cousin. Exactly. Well, I know, that's what I said. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, well, you know, when guys tell you stuff, and you know, I've heard a lot of stories over the years, both true and not so true, right? So I'm, of course, I'm intrigued, and I'm like, what do you mean? And whatever, so, you know. So as a matter of fact, yeah, I'll call him up right now. So we had a short conversation, but it was really interesting because it is a lot like my hometown of Washington, D.C., where it's a big city, but it's a small town.
Yeah, it is small, and people will identify by family and by their high schools. That's a big thing here. If someone asks you what school you went to here, they're talking about high school. And I recently did a recording session with some really great musicians, New Orleans, native New Orleans, my age or older, like in their 50s and 60s, and they would get in little beefs about high school stuff. Like, and they're still grown men, you know. Like, well, if you would, like, we had one that we had a rehearsal, and we're trying to work up this music, and one of them needed to rehearse because he wasn't really great at reading the music right. And the guy comes, well, if you would have gone to St. Aug, you know, high school, you would have known how to do it. You know? And it was like, are you sure? We're still like high school rivalries still. Because if you talk to someone and you say, hey, where'd you go to school? It's, you could learn a lot about them. If someone went to like Newman, for instance, that's a real rich school. And then that has a whole connotation, you know, that you kind of know, at least you kind of get judge a person a little bit. Oh, that's where they went there. Or if they went to, like I said, St. Aug, that's they're very famous for their marching band, you know, or another school. And it's really funny. They still do that here in town, you know.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. We're with Jason Mingledorf, who didn't go to high school in New Orleans. We'll be back after this break. We'll be right back. And it's a pleasure this hour to spend time with a really good guy that we got to meet last year and watch him in action before that. And we're so enamored. And Professor Big Wind is with us. And he was talking about high school and the impact in New Orleans that it still has. But he is not from New Orleans originally, I made the statement that you didn't go to high school in New Orleans. So I hope that was an accurate statement I made.
That is correct. In fact, that is the reason why I really can't really call myself native New Orleans. You know, if I went to high school here, I could probably get away with saying I'm from New Orleans. But I know I grew up in Alabama, and even though I've been here 30 years, I'm still not native here.
Yeah. He doesn't have the Alabama draw either, but he actually graduated from the University of Alabama. So when you, every once in a while, do you yell Roll Tide and people look at you cross-eyed, or how does that work?
Well, you know, because I'm deep in LSU country down here.
That's why I ask.
I think they hate Alabama more than Auburn does.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Because at least Auburn, at least they're in your state, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up, you know, like, an Alabama fan, you know, we still rooted for Auburn as long as they weren't playing us, you know, because at least it helps the state out.
Right.
You don't, and, you know, you grew up with these people, you know, they're family, you know, so, but it is an intense rivalry, of course, and it's like religion. But LSU, man, so we recently did a tour. My son is touring colleges, and we went to LSU, and they won't even say the name Alabama. It's like, we don't even talk about those people. So I am deep in LSU country. So I try to be very careful where I yell my Roll Tide. We got one bar here in New Orleans that's kind of like the bar where Alabama people go for games and stuff.
Hidden gem.
So I went to Alabama, which I actually got to go back to my alma mater for a recent tour. And it was really great to kind of have a homecoming.
All right. So you've been playing music for a long time, saxophone for a long time, but you have these advanced degrees. So I'll just tell people that he has a BM in saxophone performance from Alabama, from the University of Alabama.
Yep.
And an MM, which I guess is a master's in music, in jazz studies from the University of New Orleans. So he's getting closer to where, you know, he makes home now. So what's that journey been like for you? Is that why you decided to become a professor? Because obviously all the playing that you do, I got to think that your bank account doesn't look too bad.
Well, so you're wondering why I made the journey to becoming a professor, I guess?
Well, yeah, all the above, your journey, kind of why, you know, I mean, you've got this upper education in music studies and performance.
Yeah, well, I guess, especially where I grew up, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, playing opportunities at first that I knew about. And I love playing saxophone. And my parents were like, well, you got to go to college. And I'm like, well, okay, but I'm going to go to college. You know, what do you want to study? And I'm like, well, I like playing saxophone more than anything. And I actually they didn't have a jazz degree. So my degree was actually in classical saxophone, which I still sometimes play. Like, I actually played with a symphony last night. But my passion was playing rock and roll and jazz and blues and stuff. And that's why I moved to I heard they had this great program at UNO, at the University of New Orleans, and with Ellis Marsalis, who's Wynton Marsalis and Branford Marsalis' father. He ran the program there, and so I went to school there and to study jazz, and mainly as a way to get to New Orleans, because I didn't have any gigs in New Orleans. So I went there to study, and pretty much immediately I started gigging around town because, like, there's so many gigs. And before I was out of college, I was playing with bands like Galactic and the Nightcrawlers before I even finished my degree, within 2 years.
Wow, that's amazing. As Jason's going to spend the hour with us. Got a lot more to talk about. I'm anxious to hear about his son. I know he uses social media quite a bit, so we've kind of seen the bit of the journey trying to get your kid into school. It's a whole different landscape now, which Jason will talk about when we come back. He is in his office. I know there are a couple of horns sitting by because that's how he rolls. He's ready at a given notice or the last second to just strap on the strap and make it happen, make beautiful music. And we're happy to have the Grammy Award-winning musician with us this hour. We'll be back to start the second half hour after this break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
We're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Jason Mingledorf. Yeah, I know. I tried to get him to change his name, but he's known by Big Wind. We call him Professor Big Wind. You know, it's just, you know. A lot of great musicians over the years, including like John Mellencamp, you know, we were told to change their name to something else. So you stuck with it, but Big Wind seems to stick with you, and we've now christened him Professor Big Wind because he's the man of the people.
I had a few people tell me, yeah, you got to change that name. But then by the time they learned it, it's so weird, they couldn't forget it, you know. And I know you've heard of Dr. John.
But of course.
You know, his original name is Mac Rabinac, which is another weird name. And, you know, I used to play with him, and the first gig I ever did with him was a recording session. And and he asked me my name, you know, and he's like, you got one of those screwed up names like me, you know. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's okay to, you know, of course, he changed his, nobody knows him as Mac Rabinac, it's been this long, I'll take my nicknames.
Indeed. And, you know, we lost Ellis Marsalis a number of years ago, so you had a great opportunity, came up at the right time to study with him, and I know you've played with both Branford, who I've known and had on this show before, who's a pretty big golfer. And, of course, Wynton Marsalis may be more famous than his brother, but it's a musical family. And it's interesting that you studied under Ellis because all of his kids studied under him, too, by demand, so to speak. He demanded the best.
Yes, he had a thing about him that that pushes everyone to excel, you know, and all of his sons that are musicians are the highest quality. You know, there's also Delphio, who I play in his big band some. Jason, the drummer, who is actually at Loyola, taking some classes, getting his degree, finishing up his degree at Loyola, which every now and then these students pass the hall, they see him like, what is he doing here, you know? And he's an amazing musician. And they all kind of have this drive. They're kind of a little bit competitive and kind of can take, you know, give it and take it, you know. And they're also all very generous in terms of sharing their knowledge and things. You know, we had Branford here about a month ago. We did a tribute to their dad with the symphony. And he played and just his spirit, he's like a kid, you know, it almost feels like he's getting away with something. And he works really hard, you know, obviously he works really hard at what he does, you know, but man, what an amazing player. And all of his brothers, they all have that kind of magic.
Yeah. Well, you've played with Dr. John, as you mentioned. And you've played with Harry Connick. Harry Connick Jr. Yep. is pretty, he's kind of an icon for New Orleans and the city, but you've also played with groups like the OJs, and you talk about having an impact on the music scene. You definitely do that. How did you grow your reputation? How did that start for you?
Well, in this business, it really helps to have different skill sets. And the more you have, the more jobs you can get and the more the reputation can be spread. So for one, I was lucky enough to have some really good band directors that really worked and taught me how to sight read. So, and for those of those aren't musicians, sight reading is like they put a piece of music in front of you and you can just play it without ever seeing it before. And that's like a certain skill. Now, I know amazing musicians that don't know how to do that. But I know great sight readers that aren't exactly the greatest musicians overall. They can just read music. So to be able to do that, so that allows me to get a call from like the OJs or the Temptations. I remember one time I played with the Temptations and the music was on the stage. I didn't even get a chance to look at it before going on the stage. We go up on stage and we open and they turn the lights on and we start playing without even looking at it ahead of time. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I think I got this. And then the horn player started doing choreography on top of that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. and I'm like, this is true sight reading. Like, at least you get to kind of talk it over ahead of time. But so that ability to do that is important. Also, you know, playing different styles of music. So like, I'll play with symphony or like I like, and I really truly love playing rock and roll and R&B and stuff. So you know, that helps me play it better. And I think, you know, like some players, they don't like maybe a jazz musician coming in thinking they're above them and above the music, and they actually end up not playing sounding that great because of it. So, but because I appreciate all these different styles, people like to have me play them. And so after years of doing that, and you know, also play flute and clarinet and different instruments, and I just always appreciate the people I'm playing with and listen to them. And I think that, people like to have that on stage with them. They like to make, I like to make music with people who care about the music we're playing, and I do. And so I think just over the years, I just try to make sure I don't screw up too bad and keep it going and people keep calling.
Talking to Jason Mingledorf, I call him Professor Big Win. Big Win is his official nickname given. He'll tell you who gave him that in a second. But he's spending the time with us on Tee It Up with Keith Jones, which we appreciate because you can tell he's a good guy. And, well, you know, we like quality people. And fortunately, sometimes we can trick him to come back on the show. So that works out really good for us. But you talk about studying jazz. How do you transition from jazz to funk? Because that is not even linear.
There's actually a lot more. They're closer than maybe you might think. The big difference is the groove, and that is something that is something to think about. But the language that's used, there's actually a lot of crossover. So a lot of great funk musicians have a background in jazz. It's just kind of hidden in there. And then there's a lot of great jazz musicians started playing funk, like Miles Davis. Like, you know, he got the bug playing. He's like one of the pioneer jazz musicians, but his last, I'd say 20 years of his career, he was playing stuff that was more like funk, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of, there's something, a genre they call kind of soul jazz. And that's like all funky soul funk music, and it's kind of jazz, but it's also got a funky beat, which a lot of my stuff is like that.
Yes, it certainly is, and it's certainly not New Orleans jazz, which is a different genre unto itself, really.
Yeah, you're probably kind of referring to what we call traditional jazz or trad jazz, and because there's also some modern New Orleans jazz and stuff, but yeah, the traditional jazz, like you would hear by Preservation Hall and all that, is totally different. I say it's totally different, but it's also very connected. A lot of those guys also play New Orleans rhythm and blues, like Fats Domino kind of stuff, and New Orleans funk, which is like the Meters. It's all kind of connected down here in New Orleans. So I used to play with a guy who his band played traditional jazz music, which some people used to call Dixieland. We don't really call it that anymore around here, but like traditional jazz tunes, but he did them all and with funk beats. And it actually worked. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's certainly blended music in New Orleans. There's no question about that. And it seems like very little is off the mark. And whatever you want to play, whatever you bring to the table, people seem to be pretty receptive to it.
They're open. Yeah, there are some styles that aren't as people just don't like. There's not a big, huge market for it around here, but because we have our own music that we love, you know. But it's all like we're open to just about anything for sure.
All right, so you've been teaching at Loyola for almost two decades. So
yeah,
do you like teaching better or playing better?
Oh, definitely playing.
Okay,
I love playing. It's all about playing for me. I do love teaching though. I do enjoy passing things on because I learn from teach. I have some really good students. I try to stay a step ahead of them, or we'll learn a tune together, or they'll learn something, and then I'll go and like learn it on my own. And I have a big band that I lead, and I actually get them a gig every semester at the local bar here, Maple Leaf, and I have a blast doing that. But it's all about, for me, is making music. I love playing music, so. And it's different every night. It's a different band or something, and it just keeps it fresh with me. Teaching is my side hustle.
Yeah, see, I couldn't have had a better lead in. So now he's on the spot. He's going to grab one of his horns right now on the spot, and he's going to play a little something. And my audio guys are going to go nuts here. So, be
okay.
Gentle
oh, yeah.
on them. Be gentle on them. But do you think Big Wind? Let's let people hear a little
okay.
Big Wind.
All right. Should I put it on speakerphone?
Sure, you do whatever you need to. Yeah, I want to see you. I want to see somebody hold their phone and play the saxophone at the same time. I've seen a guy play with one hand before. I've seen a guy play with two horns at one time, but I've never seen anybody hold their cell phone, talk of it, and play a saxophone. That would be next level.
Yeah. I need both of my hands. I'm putting it on speaker. Let's see.
There you go.
You got any requests? Yeah. Or want me to blow something?
Yeah, we'd like to hear some Big Wind, please. Yeah, this is okay. On the spot. He's now in the men's room, in case you're wondering why it's echoing. So there you go.
I'm going to start with my lowest note. You hear that?
I hear it.
Okay.
See, now we have new intro music. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That is Professor Big Wind. There you go. That's phenomenal. See, like you said, he loves to play first, and he never turns down an opportunity. There's a first. We've had different musicians on this show over the years, and we've ever also been in the studio with the Great Empty Pockets out of Chicagoland, but that was the first impromptu saxophone performance. We appreciate that from the Grammy Award-winning Jason Mingledorf on T.O. Keith Jones because, hey, we like to have fun too, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
So people are like, so where's your kid going to go to school? Has a decision been made because, it's important right now?
Oh, we don't know yet. He is in the middle of doing all the applications, and my wife is quite a thorough person. And we looked at like 12 schools, I think, like actually went to 12 schools to tour him. And he wants to go into architecture. And so we kind of, based it off of that. And, we got one school here in New Orleans, Tulane. They have a really good architecture program. We looked at LSU, but we're all over the country, went to Carnegie Mellon, WashU in St. Louis, Florida, Auburn, Maryland, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Penn State, Michigan, all over.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll know. I guess we'll probably know in a couple of months, you know. We'll see.
Yeah, you better gig some more. I heard a lot of WashU in there. I heard a lot of tuition going on there. And so.
Oh, there's some high we told them, like, look, if you don't get a scholarship, we can't be paying for school. So the price of school, I look back at when I went to school, and it makes me feel old, but man, it was a fraction of what it costs today. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. I'm a graduate of the University of Maryland, proudly, although, the football team's not as good as where you went to school, but that happens too.
Where was that you went?
University of Maryland. So if your son comes.
Oh, yeah, that's the one we looked at.
Yeah,
that was a great school, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually good music school. I was in the marching band by chance, but that was a different experience. I walked into that. I was gonna maybe walk onto the football team, and I ran into somebody from talking about high school earlier, right? I ran into somebody on the quad area, and they said they were recruiting for the marching band, and I said, really? What do you do? And she said, I'm a flag, and I said. what is that? And now it's become a whole thing, the flag performers and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was pretty crazy, and but I enjoyed it. We went to the football games and did some road trips, and
the marching band thing, my kids don't do marching band. I got one of my kids is a jock, so he loves to play sports, but and they're like, well, why are you so into football? So I'm like, look, I was in the band. I went to every single football game throughout high school, you know. So you kind of get into it from playing at the games and stuff.
Yeah, I played football in high school, and I thought I might further it, but it didn't work out that way. So I ended up in the marching band. But, yeah, you get to the football games. Like, you go and you can perform, and you get into the games, and you don't pay anything to get in the games. And it was pretty good. And then, the away, I actually talk to people, sometimes they'll talk about Disney World or whatever. I actually marched in, and we played in the band the Christmas parade. So people, the Disney people, hopefully there's not too many Disney people listening to the show. But the ones that talk to me about that, they're always impressed by that. And
I used to work at Disney as a musician, yeah. I had a blast. It was they used to have this program called College All-American College Orchestra, and they would take the best musicians from colleges all over the country, and they used to have a theater right on the water at Epcot Center, and it was an orchestra, and what they call a studio orchestra, like a big band and orchestra, and every weekend we had a guest artist. We'd have like famous people come, like Rita Moreno and Paul, Dave Brubeck and Della Reese and all these people come every weekend and sing with us and play with us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. This show's a lot of fun so far with Big Wind, Professor Big Wind. That's Jason Mingledorf. We're going to wrap up the show. Got one more segment with him, so we're buckled in. We are ready to go, and we're probably not going to make him play his horn again. We'll be back after this. Back to wrap up the show. It's been great to spend some time with a good guy. You can tell just by the conversations that we have, sideways and otherwise. Jason Mingledorf, commonly known as Big Wind, personally known as Professor Big Wind. This guy is unbelievable. Musician, 30 years in New Orleans after escaping Tuscaloosa. And always puts on a show. And you mentioned the two bands that you played in, Galactic and Dumpster Funk. And those bands are two of my buddy Lee's favorite bands too. So completely full circle for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't personally play with Dumps of Funk. I'm a fan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I do play with all those guys.
See?
All the time.
Sam, it just was called something different. That's the other thing. You guys get together after Jazz Fest at the tail end in the evening or whatever, and you never know who's going to show up on the stage. How does that come together?
You know, it's usually like one person will take the reins and like say, hey, and here's a list of songs, and maybe everyone contribute a song. There's a joke that New Orleans has only one band, and it's got about 400 members. And it's just, we're all kind of mix and match and play together, which is really great. And if you don't really fit in, if you make enemies, you're not going to last very long, because you don't just burn a bridge with one band, you burn it with like about 20 or 30 other bands, because everyone plays all over town. So it's like a big family here.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. And I buy into whoever said that about the one band with 400 members. Or that makes total sense to me. You've been playing for a long time. Where did this Big Wind nickname come from?
That was the former drummer of my old band, Papa Gross Funk. His name was Russell Batiste.
Wow.
He's cousins with John Batiste, who is a very famous musician from here also. And he, it's funny, because he couldn't remember my name. And he was like, you know, just started calling me Big Wind because I play loud. You know, we lost Russell a couple years ago, sadly. He was one of the best drummers ever to come out of New Orleans.
Mm. So you've affectionately held on to that name. And well, that probably, once that got out, this is what everybody started calling you.
Yeah. Well, and to be, you know, that Big Wind was used a lot with Papa Gross Funk. And, like, I don't refer to myself as Big Wind as much anymore, but when people call me that, I know they remember me from the Papa Gross Funk days. And so, and I'll still, every now and then, I'll come on a gig and the soundman's like, Big Wind, you know, and I know, oh, they remember me from that band, you know, specifically is when mostly, you know, they would call me that.
Well, that band specifically is where I saw you, and that band never missed a beat. That was so good.
That was a great band. So, I miss those guys. Yeah,
I'm sure of that. You know, along the way, you know, you have branched out, and I just got handed a note that you actually had toured with Clint Black, as in country star Clint Black.
Yes, that was my first big tour. I mean, well, after I toured with Galactic, and there was another blues musician, I did this gig. You know, remember, I was talking earlier about how I like to do different kinds of styles. I remember doing this gig. It was the craziest gig I ever did. I had to wear this dumb hat, and I was doing the Macarena. It was just craziness. But this guy that was on the gig, he was like in town, and he used to play with Tower of Power, great trumpet player. Yeah. And I think he's like, this kid is a good sport. I like, you know, fun to hang out with. And can play the music. I'm going to see. And he asked me if I'd be interested in doing a tour with Clint. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, I didn't really listen to country music, but I wanted to play with him. And he sold Clint on the idea of having a New Orleans horn section tour with him and do this particular tour. And man, I had so much fun with that band, highest quality of musicians. And they really loved having the New Orleans influence for that tour. And I ended up playing with him for about 2 years. They got rid of the horn section and just had me just as the only horn for part of that. And that was, man, those guys can play. I definitely gained a respect for country music playing with Clint, you know.
Yeah, I totally believe that. All right, Mingledorf, we're totally out of time. Big Wind has been my guest, Jason Mingledorf, Grammy Award-winning musician, saxophonist. Get out there and practice your game, practice your horn, practice whatever you need to do, practice, take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.